Let's continue to talk about Hanford. Well, since the speaker after me is not here, so I have more time with the permission of the chair to talk about the Hanford, I would like to share some of the information, maybe historic information about Hanford. Vedas the monitoring, we all know about monitoring, what it is. The interim surface barrier in Hanford. The barrier is the surface want to try to prevent any infiltration of rainfall to the subsurface. Interim here is relative to permanent barrier. Even its interim, the design lifespan is about 25 years. So it's not still a small thing here. Well, by the way, the permanent barrier, the concept of permanent barrier means the design life is 1,000 years. Whatever that is true, ideally that should function for 1,000 years. Well, this is the corner here, that's the state of Washington. At the middle south is the Hanford site. This site is, we probably many of you know that it is a Department of Energy's nuclear waste site. The nuclear waste came from the money from the Second World War when the plutonium production plant was there to produce nuclear fuels for the nuclear bombs. Later, after that, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, during the Cold War period, there were continuing production there. Because of these activities, there were huge amount of chemically hazardous and especially radioactive waste there. Most of the waste are stored in what they call the single shell tanks. The wall of the tank is just one layer of stainless steel. The picture here shows it's one tank form when it was in construction. Well, here it looks small, but the size actually is big. One of the large tank has the diameter of 23 meters. 23 meters, I don't know if the room, if it's the size of the room, maybe even larger. So it can contain about 2 million liters of liquids there, each of the tank. So there are there are 147 SST, single shell tanks, in Hanford. After a few decades, a little bit less than half of them have been found leaking or suspected to be leaking. Thinking about the volume, each one is 2 million liters, and 167 of them, what is the total? But not all of them have leaked, maybe partly, and many measures have been taken to prevent the further leakage. One incident happened is in the T-tank form. This form has 16 single shell tanks. 12 of them are large size, as I just mentioned, is the 2 million liter tanks. There are also four smaller ones here. In 1973, it was found that about 435,000 liters of fluid leaked. That is about a quarter volume of the tank. It happened in the T106, and later was found at this, somewhere at this corner. The shaded area is the current plume of the leak. It contains radioactive cesium-137, strontium-90, plutonium, and also other various fission products such as the technetium-99. Because of this, now Department of Energy is planning to prevent the further downward migration of the plume. In the past decades, it has been moving downward slowly. So it directly threatens the groundwater there, and it further can move down to the river maybe only 10 kilometers away from here. So if this goes to the river, then it can very quickly go to anywhere. To prevent this further downward migration, so an interim barrier is planned to be used above this region. This picture shows this is not a real picture for the actual site is, but the cover part is not. It's the octagonal shaped, that's the planned part. The size, we just have some information, how big is that one? It is about 100 meters across from one end to the other. So if you want to think about it, it's about the size of a football field. The bottom, it has three layers. The bottom layer is a compact soil layer, have the 1% slope so that the precipitation above it will be guided out of the barrier and all the way to the place far away from the farm. Above the soil, compact soil layer is a geotextile fabric layer. Then it's a spray of polyurea above the fabric. It will be a quarter inch thick. So the barrier will be an impermeable barrier. So all the water is supposed to be prevented from infiltrating into the farm. Okay, the construction is done by another company, Sichtuam Hill, and our job is to monitor the soil water condition below the barrier and also to compare outside of the barrier locations. So we've designed to choose the four locations. The A is outside of the barrier, B is just right at the boundary, C and D are inside the farm and right below the barrier. We also have a meteorological station here. The main purpose here is to actually try to catch, in any cases, summer storm. If it's a very local event, we can still catch it. For the regular cases, the site, the monitoring is not a complex, but this one thing is a radioactive site. There is very, very strict regulations there. So there is no digging. We know that the soil is maybe contaminated. So the surface is not, but any digging deeper than 1 foot is not allowed. It doesn't mean it's not forever allowed. You have to get permission to do so. It is a very, very complex process to get permission for any digging, because any dust needs to be even monitored, checked if it is contaminated. Any equipment needs to be checked and even later to be cleaned if it be out. And also the access to the farm is limited. Only specially trained personnel can enter into the tank farm. Even that, the farm is open only once every 3 months. Basically that means we have 4 chances a year somebody can enter into the farm. So that means all the equipment there must be very reliable. If you have whatever problem, sorry, you can't go there to fix it. You have to wait at least to another time when it is open. Another one is no AC power. The high power is considered an energized source. In the radioactive site, it is not allowed. So it's another potential threat to the farm. So it becomes a concern there. So because of this, we have to think, how are we going to install the equipment? How are we going to monitor all these things? The installation here eventually came up with the using a hydraulic hammer and a coal taped shaft, and this one is pushed directly into the subsurface. So there is no digging, it's like a cone penetrometer type of thing to push it in. This shaft is used, one is as a neutron probe access tube directly there, and also for other equipments, it creates the guide to have a hole there, and then let's see, other equipments will be installed into the through the hole there, and then the shaft will be removed after. Well, when the removing, there is a tip here, it is solid. This tip actually is removable, so that tip will stay in the subsurface. For the actual monitoring, we used a solar powered and also remotely controlled system. Well, we have solar panels for each of the four stations and also the meteorological stations. The solar panel recharges the battery there, and the battery provides power to the equipment. This is HDU, heat dissipation unit, to measure pressure head, capacitance probe to measure soil water content, a drain gauge there to measure soil water flux. And then all the data are collected by a data logger inside the farm. Then the data was transferred to the computer by a radio wireless connection there. So we can get the data outside of the farm with. These are some of the equipments. This is a capacitance probe. That's an environmental smart probe. This probe is about 2.5 meters long, and it can contain multiple sensors, up to, I think it's 16 sensors for each probe. We use the HDU heat dissipation unit to measure soil water potential. This is the picture of one of the equipment nest with the surface condition. We see here is the solar panel, and this box contains data logger and other peripherals there. These are the transfer box. We see these three actually the wirings from the other sensors. Another picture here is the meteorological station. Here we have a rain gauge there to measure precipitation. That's the solar panel, and that's the temperature sensor, also a box there. This is a summary of all the equipment installed there. In the last year, the year 2006 summer, two equipment, we call the equipment nest, A and B, was installed. We have all these equipment installed. Neutron probes, access tubes were installed for all of the equipment. Or C and D was installed this summer, the summer of 2007. The access tube went deep to 50 feet, that's about 15 meters below the surface. This operation must be done manually because the law requires no automation for a neutron probe. So specific trained personnel must operate neutron probe to go into there quarterly. Capacitance probe were installed for all of the nests. We choose the 5 depth there. The monitoring was done 4 times a day, every 6 hours. HDU is the same. It measures both water pressure and soil water pressure and soil temperature for all of the nests. We have 4 depths. Depth 1 meter, 2 meter, 5 meter, and 10 meter deep. Also measured every 6 hours. We installed 2 drain gauge there. Well, this one is the one we have big trouble because so far we haven't found any very sophisticated equipment to measure soil water flux. Remember, the flux level is very small. It's probably less than, maximum is 100 millimeters per year. So in the dry region, it should be much smaller than that. So then we have trouble, the equipment was installed, the system functioning, but we didn't see any drainage. These two for the meteorological station, they were measured hourly. Now I'm going to show you some of the example results. This is the results from the October 2006 to September this year. We want to check the functionality, the reliability of the system. So the battery voltage was monitored. We want to make sure, especially during the winter season, the battery voltage is still high enough to provide sufficient power to all the equipment. So the minimum allowed voltage is 12 volts. Last winter, we saw that the minimum was higher than 12.5 volts. So that showed sufficient power there, continuously without any interruption. This one compares the temperature measurement from the two nests, A and B, and also our site, meteorological station. The red line is the HMS, is the Hanford Meteorological Station. That is a formal meteorological station that is only a few kilometers away. So we want to compare our system with theirs to make sure everything functions as they should. So we see the temperature basically agrees each other very well. There are sometimes a little bit deviations we contribute. Maybe that should be the local effects. This is the example of soil moisture content from the nest B at 5 depths. So that we have the continuous numbers. Actually, the numbers have been averaged as the daily average values. So we see some here, some peaks, that is due to the winter precipitation. In Hanford, it is very dry in the summer period, from probably May to August, to even September, there is almost no precipitation there. Starting from November to March, that is the actual wet season. So that season is wet, but the low temperature, evaporation is low, so it provides some recharge to the surface, to subsurface. So that is shows the increase of soil water content. At a lower, larger depth, the water content is relatively stable. But here we want to show first before the really used for to monitor the water content under the barrier, we want to make sure the system is working properly. This plot shows the measured pressure head at 4 depths. The black line with symbols, this is the shallowest one at 1 meter. So we see also here after the winter, there's a very sharp increase in pressure head. That is also due to the precipitation. At 2 meters, there was also a gradual increase here. And later in the summertime, it decreased even to the September. At a large depth, 5 meters and 10 meters, the value were pretty much stable. So that is what we expect. We don't expect any precipitation event will have effects to that large depth. The work is still in progress. The construction is in progress now, the real construction. It's supposed to be completed actually by December this year. Then we will have a long-term monitoring of the system. The monitoring is simple here for professionals, but for the regulators, it is very strict. Even we think if we have a barrier above the surface, no water going into it, for sure, it will dry up, more or less, depends on the current status. But to the regulators, you have to provide actual measurements, strong direct evidence to prove the barrier is functioning. It is no-brainer there, but we still have to prove there. And everything, the equipment used there must be off-the-shelf equipment. We cannot make any equipment by ourselves because there is a reliability in issues there, responsibility there issues even. If you make it, we can take the responsibility of the results even. So it's there. A very different issue. Well, here I'd like to summarize a little bit. Just for the installation, we used a hydraulic hammer and the coil tip to drive shaft to create boreholes and for other equipment installation. And we also used the spark system to monitor soil water regime in there. This is just for the functionality and reliability. We found the solar system could provide continuous sufficient power to the equipment. I should mention that each of the equipment nest has a solar panel, so they are independent. There is a design is how frequent to measure take the measurement. If it's very frequent, it will consume more power there. So that is something we want to take more, but not too much. The data collected stored in the data loggers could be retrieved remotely anytime. It is stored there. It could store probably a few months data, but you can go there anytime it's convenient to get the data. So far, based on the last year's measurements, we had continuous results without any unplanned interruptions. So this is the end of my story. I'd like to answer any of your questions.
Yeah, we have 9 minutes for questions.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a couple of questions. First one, now you have a layer going over the top there. What is that material in the semi-porous?
The soil layer?
Or you have something you put over the top there. It's like
polyurea.
Yeah, polyurea
is, what is that one? It's, if you have a pickup truck, the truck bed like thing.
The rough bed.
Yeah, it's rough like that
is
one.
Is it semi-porous because you're getting moisture?
No, it's not porous, it's impermeable.
So why are you getting moisture?
It is, there is no precipitation going below it. It is completely blocks all the precipitation.
Was it in A and B then that you got the...
A and B is outside from, but that was the time before the cover is there yet. So far, it's the actual cover is not done yet.
All right.
Yeah, it's not done yet.
And the second question is, from your precipitation sensor, and you're saying it's hard to get a good drainage instrument, but with your instrumentation, you should be able to get a pretty good estimate of drainage
Well, the major issue is the uncertainty of the measured hydraulic conductivity. That can be very easily have the error of even up to can be one order of magnitude. But here we want to have the accuracy to millimeter per year. So the maximum is the precipitation 170 for this year. Bottom is zero, so it's that the range. The capital value can be way, way larger, give a larger range of that. We did the calculation, it can be to maybe give you a 1,000 millimeters per year result. So that is capital error. The error is larger than actually the range.
Could you calibrate that using the water balance since you have a sealed
system? Yes, we can. Well, if it is sealed later, we expect that, yeah, it is clear, no water goes downward, but still the water movement is a gradual process. Depends how deep is it? The water is still moving slowly. So that is another concern of the Department of Energy. They will ask, okay, what is the impact depth of the cover? Well, this is when you answer this one, it is first is the how when? 1 year, 2 years, 5 years later, it will gradually dry up. But eventually, steady state, well, by the way, the Vedas down there is about 60 meters deep. So the water table is 60 meters below the ground surface. But all these are under consideration. So 60 meters, we really cannot answer that. It becomes more complex.
Is it possible that you can get some vapor phase movement of water from sides?
That is a concern. But we don't monitor that one. We think the vapor movement should be a very, very small amount. And also there, due to the use of the cover, the temperature condition will change. There we may be, because it's almost an impermeable barrier, there may be some accumulation of vapor below the barrier, and there is maybe a very white vapor cost. The wintertime vapor movement upward. So that we discussed that one. There will be some vapor, but the thing is, we think the vapor will not cause downward movement. If that is the issue, so it will not enhance further downward movement. It can that is the further major issue. If we can provide more water to push the plume further down, then it becomes a very important issue. But we don't think it would cause that. So that's why we didn't monitor vapor.
I have a question. Based on the rainfall record, do you expect any kind of a serious infiltration, say saturated infiltration, as was designed by that experiment? So much water infiltrating into the series, and you said there should not be saturated infiltration, so much moisture in the soil over there. Do you expect that?
The saturated infiltration? Well, if there is a storm, let's see, for 20 minutes, and it's very intensive during that very short time, probably yes. Very shallow depths. But here, if we consider that is the actual plume now is at the depth of about 20 meters below the surface. If we consider that it's just a few meters below, that is the depth of concern. So in that case, then we will probably never have any saturated flow there.
House construction, you said it was September 2007 as mm-hmm. the finish date. Did they make it, or did you?
No, not finished yet. This is the data we stopped there.
Oh, you stopped the data there?
No, we have still, I have reported there, the system is still.
When are they going to finish construction?
The construction now is in progress. They are going to finish it in December this year. It's actually soon. By the way, the cost for this barrier is about $2 million. It's a very big, big project there.
How comfortable are you that the plume is only 20 meters below the breaking
point? I think that's very pretty confident, because those are radioactive. We can measure the, using to measure the radiation. There are lots of what we call dry wells, monitoring wells, to monitor the plume, the actual radiation change with depth there. So it's in the past decades, it was slowly moving downward. So that's why we have to, before actually we were thinking to wait for a permanent barrier. So there's no need to do this. But now the permanent barrier will be extremely expensive, but how to do it is still under discussion. So that is why come the issues, you have a temporary interim barrier above the surface to prevent potential for downward movement. Okay. That is what we would like to do. From the their monitoring point of view, they basically say, okay, this is the monitoring work. This is not the research work. You have to use any reliable equipment possible to provide reliable data to do the actual state of Washington. We are the party to monitor the progress, to see, to check these ones. Its research part is not considered here, and it's so that's the CH2M Hills, they don't provide the funding for the research. You don't need to do it. They have to use any already mature technique to do the monitoring.
But what I'm saying is, if you have a model structure outside,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Have some instrumentation in that which probably wouldn't cost too much, and then you can compare the two.
Right. It's we would like to do that way. They said they are with you. Once they said, okay, we want to do it now. Don't give you a year time to play with it. That is, so there's no time. It's almost everything is this year for a few months. What is your way to do it? It's something different from just research. We propose to use some other equipment to do further research investigation for that one. They think, well, it's not necessary. Well, the one reason here is everybody knows the barrier will work because all the water has been, precipitate has been guided out. It will work. So then just do it and prove it, that's it. So it's listen, further investigation? Probably not. It's so that's why they don't have much interest in for further, just when they want to do it, you just help us to monitor it.
Thank you very much, Fred.
Yeah, thank you.